y'all can have a seat. It is a good day to celebrate Jesus, am I right? All right, we got a lot of things that we need to celebrate. First of all, happy Juneteenth. Yeah. Judging by the delayed reaction, if you need to Google that really quick, you can, but it's an important day. You should know what it is. Juneteenth, 10 out of 10 kind of day. We also have other holidays happening today. Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to y'all. I see we're in a nice little delayed clap kind of mode. All right, drink more caffeine, y'all. And we have reached the final day of our Pray First series. Everybody say, Pray First.
Pray First.
All right. In this series, we have been tackling like Jesus' teaching on prayer, some of the different like encouragement that Scripture gives about prayer, and then even some sample prayers from the church over time. Even what last week, Mr. and Mrs. Robinson crushed it, talking about the Psalms. And we get to continue in that today. So actually the last word in the series, rather than being two speakers today, there'll be one, and then there'll be some space where y'all get to do a little Q&A, where you actually get to determine the content of the second half of the sermon, but we'll get there when we get there. But first, I get to share with y'all one of my absolute favorite psalms. Not because it's particularly encouraging to me as an individual, but because it reminds me of God's place in my place. And so I would love to share with you for a few minutes Psalm 127. And it is a thing of beauty. Y'all ready for this? Let's do it. All right, man. All right, man. Psalm 127, it goes like this. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. In vain you rise up early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. Children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their opponents in court. That feels a little schizophrenic. Because there's like two different things, right? On the one hand, we have this beautiful like realization, unless the Lord builds the house, it ain't gonna work. Like, that's beautiful. But then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, it's like, also, let's talk about children. Like, there's something going on there that we need to address. And this is where a little context helps us. If you brought a Bible with you, or you're one of those old-fashioned people that has a paper Bible, which I love, it's at the top. It says, A Song of Ascents of Solomon. And so there's a bunch of psalms labeled this Psalm of Ascent, kind of a deal. What they are is there was two times in particular that these would get prayed or sung. One, when it was people's time to come to Jerusalem for a major festival, be that Passover weeks or booths. That was when they would generally do those pilgrimages. And so as they were going to the place to worship God, they would sing and pray these things together. The other time is when they were actually going up the steps to the temple, because that was church for them. That is where heaven and earth met. That's where they would get to meet God and hang out with God. And so they would sing these or pray these on their way up the steps as a family. Now, we don't have steps into our church building, but imagine yourself this morning as you came in with your family or whoever you came to church with. You're coming through the parking lot and you've got this going through your head. It's, unless the Lord builds the house, whatever we do is in vain. Unless the Lord watches over this place, any amount of effort on our part, kind of useless. But then as a family, you can almost hear the moment where the toddler like smacks into your leg, right? Because it's like, having a spiritual moment, walking into church. Unless the Lord does it, children are a blessing from the Lord. Offspring are a heritage from him. I will not club this kid on Father's Day at the church. Amen. That walk into church is special, though, because it was done as a family. You would go to this church as a family. And by the way, we got to address this first part, too. unless the Lord builds overflow, it's not going to work. Now, don't get me wrong. We can fool ourselves at a lot of different things. Like, just because the church, like, gets more people in the seats does not mean it was done God's way. That eventually will fall. But if we do things God's way, he will give the growth that needs to be there. The question is not, how do we jam more people into a church building? The question is, how do we become the people God would like to trust with more other people? That's not just a staff question, by the way. That's a all of us question. All right? Because in case it was not obvious, staff don't run the church. The people are the church. So unless the Lord builds the church, our ideas are cute at best. But it brings up a great question that we got to ask. If it's Jesus' job to actually grow things, if it's Jesus' job to make it happen, if it is all on Jesus, if this goes well or not, the heck are we doing here? Like, what? Like, honestly, what is my role? What's our role in the world if it all hangs in the balance and rises and falls on Jesus? What is our role in the world? And this psalm supplies one answer to that question. Value the gifts God's already given you. The example he uses here is children. It says children are a reward from God. So first of all, if you have kids, love them dearly. But also value the skills, the talents, this place that God's given you. But also, like, if you are somebody, it's Father's Day. Let's talk about family. Like, if God has blessed you as a dad with children, that is to be valued, not begrudged. Value that. We were in a McDonald's a couple weeks ago. That's a hilarious way to start a story. Yeah, my life's going well. I ate a McDonald's. But we had a McDonald's as a family a couple of weeks ago because we had like an appointment for Phoebe in the morning. We were going to the zoo after, and so we stopped off at a McDonald's for brunch because we fancy. And so we got to the table, and my one-year-old Phoebe is just crushing pancakes. Like, she ate so much food, we had to get up and get more because she ate my food, mom's food, Junia's food, and she's just going after it. So she's crushing pancakes. It's a disaster. There's syrup everywhere. Abby's up actually getting food, and I'm like trying to manage the kids. And you know how McDonald's sometimes puts those little spin stools like off the side? And of course, Junia found one of those. My toddler, she's a beautiful three-nager that she is. And so she's on one of those, just like spinning wild, going, woo! And in this chaos in the middle of a McDonald's, it's like, man, I enjoy being a dad way more than I thought I would. Because when Abby and I were thinking about having kids, I didn't actually know who wanted them. My personal pain is funny. All right, that's fine. It's fine. I'm just going to have an emotion. All right, we're cool. But like, you know, you ever notice, I don't know if y'all been at the stage, maybe you don't have kids and you're thinking about it, or like you're maybe thinking about life goals, or you are married and you maybe want more kids. I don't know where you're at. But like, I had this debate in my head. Is it like, do I want kids because I want kids? Or is this just like a weird, like, cultural thing we do? Like, is this just social pressure that's making me want kids? Because that's a real thing, right? Because it's like, oh, people get married, they have kids. That's how it works, right? And so, like, for the life of me, I couldn't really, like, solve that. I was like, I'm pretty sure it's me that wants the kids, but we'll find out. I'm a risk-taking kind of guy. But as it turns out, I really wanted the kids, and they've been wonderful, and like I get to actually like be with them, and I would not trade either one of my daughters for nothing. Like, well, God, yeah, before you clap, God, like God's got a sense of humor, because Ab and I were like, Lord, we would like four boys. We've got two girls. Still love them. They're great. But But I was like, man, so you ever ask yourself this question? Like, if something's not going well, you should ask why and like try to figure that out. Like, let's get to the bottom of that. But also, if something landed correctly, maybe I'm just super type A, it's fine. But like, I was like, why did that happen? Like, why is that emotion popping up in me? That's like, oh, I love my kids. Like, how did we get there? Like, because it wasn't always that way that I actually valued them like I should. So when I started working at Overflow, Junia was just born. I joke that I always know how long I've been here by how old Junia is, because I actually accepted the job here from the hospital with her, not during labor, by the way. But after that was all done, she was fine. She's in a little incubator. We were good. But like, that's where I accepted the job from. But we lived in Holland at the time, and so I'd have to drive like an hour or so to get here. And then if we had like evening programming, like my job is to do the people ministry thing. Like, that's roughly what my job is. And so there was like a lot of evening groups, and we do those kind of things. It's like, cool, I'll run those. Brian, you know, can have his family time in the evening. Awesome, right? But so that would turn into me running like evening programming like 2-3 times a week. But that also meant that I couldn't quick run home to Holland. I can't be like, yo, 3-hour lunch break, deuces. Nope. But there'd be several days in the week I'd be gone for 12, 14 hours at a time. And so I got home. I've been working here for maybe 3 weeks. And I got home, and it was middle of July. 95, sticky, humid. We didn't have the best air conditioning at the time, and so it was crazy hot in the house. And I walk in, and Abby has Junia laying on her chest, like trying to get her to sleep, and she's kind of peaceful, but she's wearing one of my flannels. And I walk in the house, I'm like, girl, why are you wearing a flannel? It is a billion degrees in this house. Because I don't want Junia to forget what you smell like. Because I was gone too much. There is a very, very small handful of moments in my life that change everything in a minute. That's one of them. I don't think that when I get to heaven, I'm going to walk up to Jesus, because that's not what I'm going to be doing. That's going to be a little awe-inspiring. And it'll be like, I don't think I'm going to get to have that conversation with Jesus. And he's going to be like, man, I needed you to run a few extra evenings of programming. Who else could have come up with a way to do that? I, as the Lord, clearly just needed you, a human, to take care of all that. Thank you for that. I needed you to ignore the three women I've trusted you with the most in the world. Thanks for running one more program. I don't think that's going to be the conversation. Come on now. I think I'm going to have a lot of questions to answer about what I do for my wife and my two daughters. There's also a lot of other people in the world that can run small groups. There's a lot of other people here at this church that are better leaders than me. You know them as your group leader. But yes, like, I love what I get to do, but it is not worth my kids. And so I understand that there's a balance I'm going to have to figure out how to strike, right? Like, there's some times where I'm just not going to be available when people really want me to be available. I have to be okay with that trade-off. Yes. Yes. I have to be, like, carving, because it takes that intentional carving on that time. Just to actually, like, value my daughters and my wife like I should, to be like, no, this one day, family day. I'm still trying to, like, land that balance, like, as a human, where that balance goes. And I understand, like, it's tricky. Like, y'all, especially when I get to do something I love for work, like first of all, in terms of, like, valuing the gifts God's given me, like, it took a lot to get to the point where I value my family like I should. Scarier question in my head, what's it going to take for me to value all the other gifts God's given me like I should? Hopefully nothing too painful. Hopefully I get the point the first time. But also, like, I have a family, right? I have daughters that are amazing. I have a wife that's way more than I could have prayed for, right? I've got, like, I get to do for work things I would do for free, right? First of all, I'm very grateful that I get paid to be a pastor. I enjoy that. It means I get to spend more time doing this. But also, like, there's been seasons in my life where the money's been taken away and I've had to, like, do other things. I would still do this because I love it. But, like, I have the best job on earth. That's what I do, right? But also, like, I've got hobbies I enjoy. Like, I got friends I enjoy. Like, I need to actually value all of the blessings and gifts God's given, hopefully without too much of him having to go, like, get the point. But I need to work on that, and especially on Father's Day is a really great moment to be like, okay, checklist, am I actually doing this well? But so I want to put this question to y'all. What is it going to take for you to value the gifts God's given you? Value the blessings that God's given you, the life situation, right? Like family, as imperfect as it can be. Y'all, I understand. All of our family all got issues. We all have issues. Some maybe more obvious than others. But we've all got some things to work on. But what is it going to take for even if you're down to only the friends that you consider family? If that's all you have, but what's it going to take for you to value those people in your life? Your work, as mundane as it can be, every job has boring tasks. But that's still a paycheck you get to go home with and like pay rent with. So what is it going to take for you to value the job you get to have? What about hobbies? By the way, enjoy the life God gave you. God is not the uber American, like, every second of your life must be productive. I'm pretty sure he's also going to be like, y'all, did you enjoy the amazing world I let you live in? Right? Like, your hobbies, first of all, have a hobby. Second of all, enjoy it. Maybe include some other people in that. Like, what will it take for you to truly enjoy the gifts God has given? And so as we're heading into our final prayer prompt of this series, I want to actually make some space for y'all. Like, just between you and God, like, think to yourself, pray. I'd be like, okay, in light of this beautiful psalm that we just got to read, in light of all the things going on, whatever it is, like, God, help me to value the life you gave me. Every minute I get is from you. But just connect with God for a few minutes, like, value the life he's given you.